Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Mark Brown, the CEO of Imperial Pacific Saipan, about his company's efforts to bring Macau-style gaming to the island. The GGB podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based gaming. Mark Brown is a native of Brigantine, New Jersey, and he began his casino career in Atlantic City, eventually operating Trump Taj Mahal as the president and general manager. From 2006 to 2009, he was president and CEO of the Venetian Macau and Sands Macau. In 2013, he joined Nagacorp, the Cambodian gaming company, but less than a year later left for the top position with Imperial Pacific, which is developing gaming on the American territory of Saipan in the Northern Marianas. He describes the island and the progress made toward bringing a five-star, multi-billion dollar integrated resort to Saipan. Brown spoke with me from his offices in Saipan in late May. Mark Brown, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. I missed you in Macau last week at G2E Asia, but I'm glad we could get together on the phone here. And it's nice to talk to you. We go back a long way, and it's nice to talk to an Atlantic City guy in Asia there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Roger. Thanks. Great to hear from you.
Now, you've had a great opportunity with Imperial Pacific in Saipan, but frankly, you know, when I started hearing about Saipan, I had to look it up because I didn't really understand where it was, what it was, you know, exactly what happens there. Can you give us a little bit of the cliff notes on the island? What are some of the history? What's some of the tourist attractions there, that kind of thing?
It's a beautiful island. Like you said, same here. I've never heard of Saipan. I'm embarrassed today to say that. Just being on the island, and there's so much history here, dealing with the war, with the Japanese, with, you know, just there's so much tourists that come here, actually. There's one-third Chinese, one-third Japanese, one-third Korean. Besides all that history that's happening on this island, it's just an incredible, incredible vacation resort that's been in place for years. That I keep saying, there's 2,800 rooms on this island, 100% occupied, 7 days a week. For the people that are coming, like I said, the mass business is basically already built in. But when I arrived, when I got the phone call, same thing. I looked up Saipan, and one of the things when you look up, it says the most beautiful place in the United States you've never heard of. And it's true. You know,
sure.
But once you're here, it's the scuba dive capital of the world, crystal clear blue waters, like I mentioned, 82 degrees every day, 7 days a week. Guinness Book of World Records up into the steady weather, you know, year round. People have been coming to this island for years and years. So, you know, once I came to the island and heard our company's plan and the mission of what they want to do with gaming, and it was just something that I had to do. I was, as you know, Roger, I was in Cambodia at the time, no intention of leaving, because Nagaworld and the company and Dr. Chen and Tim McNally, can't say enough good things about them. Half my team was there, loving Mount Pen. It just, this was something that I had to do once I was here, heard the story, met the company, and what the plan is here. It was just something I could not pass up.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And explain to me the relationship between Tinian and Saipan. Are they in the same country? Are they completely different countries?
There's many islands that are surrounding this area.
Uh-huh.
And Saipan, basically, everyone has the land in Saipan. So to go to Tinian, that's one of the issues with Tinian. We kind of land, you know, nice size airport, normal airport, lands big planes, and you basically take a puddle jumper over to Tinian.
Okay.
And in Tinian, there's nothing there. It's a casino there, beautiful island with a lot of greenery, and there's really, besides Tinian casino there, there's not much else to do or anything else to see there. So Saipan, when you land, now that's why we thought this is the perfect island. It's a 4 or 5 hour flight from China, Beijing, Shanghai, anywhere where you're coming in visa free. No visa is for Chinese guests. More convenient to go to Macau than it is here.
Right.
So that was the difference of Tinian, where you have to take the small little plane to get over to Tinian. And we're just much more convenient. You're landing and you're here.
So I guess sort of something that doesn't, us in the States would recognize. You kind of have to fly into San Juan, Puerto Rico to go to the Caribbean island. So it's that kind of thing where you fly into Saipan and then...
That's why it's not as successful.
Right, okay.
So it's a trip to get to where you're going.
Right. So the casino in Tinian has not been successful. It's actually closed right now. Why would a casino in Saipan be more successful than one in Tinian?
Well, I think just the difference between the two, I'd say number one, location, like I said, get the land in Saipan and do it in Tinian. That's number one.
Right.
A small casino, different, I want to say, I don't want to say anything negative about Tinian, but even the how it was operated, how it was run, the staffing that was there, you're in the U.S., so you're following the U.S. rules. With our company, our company hired executives. We have experts from the U.S. They have the whole U.S. following all the laws, not only the labor laws. The Department of Labor is here. We know how we have to hire U.S. first. All the things that we have to follow during the labor law and then on the FBI, federal government, money laundering issues. We follow all those same rules as you do, let's say, in Vegas.
Sure.
So it's know your customer, anti-money laundering.
Right.
The issue that we have to follow. We're the only casino, and we will be for the next 4 years, in Saipan. We work very close to the government. We know we're being watched closely. So maybe in the past, the other, Tinian doesn't feel, maybe they're being watched as close. We know, that we are following every single rule. Every customer that comes and plays in our VIP room, I keep pointing this out, we have to know who they are. In Macau, for example, you walk into any one of those poker rooms, there's 60, 70 people playing in those rooms. The company itself has no idea who those people are and don't care.
Sure.
You don't know who they are. You deal with the head of the junket company, and you grant them credit. They give money out to whoever they want, and whoever's playing, it's up to they handle that, and we don't know who they are.
Okay, great.
We're in the U.S., so every single customer that's playing in our VIP room, we know exactly who they are. We're following every law to the T. The Casino Control Commission is by our side at every moment. I keep making the joke that I feel like I'm in Atlantic City 1982, where the Casino Control Commission is following the security guard, carrying the bill to the table. We don't wear big badges on our jackets, and we're very closely watched at every area.
Sure. Okay. Now, you've been operating a temporary casino for the past year or so. Tell us how that experience has been and how that has performed.
Well, as we're planning for our big building, our first building, the Grand Mariana, which opens up at the end of this year, about February, we said, let's open up one of the temporary facilities, Mark, like you do in the U.S. And at first, I envisioned, a tent. It's a tent next to your property, basically, when you open up a casino on a racetrack, and as soon as the casino opens up, either temporarily goes away. So I searched the island for a place starting in February for the perfect spot that we could have this temporary facility. I couldn't do it on the site where we're building because there wasn't enough room. We're using every inch. So I eventually wound up in the DFS shopping mall, which is actually the nicest building in Saipan. DFS shop has been here for 20 years, this building, where they said to me, Mark, we're going to renovate half of it, starting now. Would you guys be interested in taking that area? Right? We could work out a deal and we could put your temporary facility in the shopping area, which I thought that was a grand slam, and said, absolutely. So we opened up a facility, which is beautiful, spent actually way too much money on a temporary facility, but because of the type of clientele that we're bringing to the island now, we wanted to walk in and look. It's a miniature, beautiful wing. That's what it looks like. It's a beautiful little casino that is a temporary facility that will go away once this one opens. But we opened up in July. July 26th, we opened up just on a small scale. I hired people from Atlantic City and from Las Vegas to come in and deal. As we waited for our CW visas, these are contract worker visas for people that are coming only for Saipan only, that I can hire from anywhere. I can hire from the Philippines, I can hire from Macau, I can hire from the different locations, but it's a contract worker visa only for Saipan, and that takes time. So at the time, we were still an unknown company dealing with the labor laws and dealing with the labor people here that what is Best Sunshine? What we had some coming back for dealers, like denial of our visa, saying this person's applying for a dealing job, but no casinos in Saipan. So that's what we're dealing with at the beginning. Our name wasn't out there enough. Now our visas only take 5 to 6 weeks. Once they all arrive at the end of the year, November, that's when we started bringing in our VIPs. We were with my full staff in the temporary facility. We opened with 32 mass tables, 6 premium mass tables, 106 slot machines, and 7 tables that were in 3 junket rooms, let's say. That's a reopen rate. So in November, we publicly, as you saw, we announced our rolling numbers, which kind of shocked some people, where we did $1.6 billion U.S. dollars in November,
right,
and we did $1.5 billion in December, like right out of the gate. Some of the naysayers out there were like, is this a friends and family thing? Is it real? Is it this? Every single month after that, we continued to go. January was $2.2 billion. We're doing roughly $2 billion a month U.S. dollar rolling in this little temporary facility. We did $3.2 billion U.S. in April. So it's been very, very successful, and the VIPs that are coming are loving the island. They're loving the casino. They're loving what we put together. And what we do for them also, besides, picking them up as they miss through customs, like I said, no visa, pick them up at the airport. We've actually bought 5-6-bedroom homes on the island that we created private villas. So they're staying in these private villas for now because it's temporary. There's no hotel rooms at the time. So these villas, they stay with private chefs, private butler service, VIPs. We actually are buying 5 yachts. 2 are here now. 2 of the yachts are on 150-foot yachts with 5 staterooms that the guys actually also stay on the yachts with the private chef and the butler service again. Go out on, sunset cruises. They're fishing. They're on the beach. It's an area that, like I said, cannot duplicate this location, this experience, anywhere in the world. You really cannot. That's so close to China. You're in the U.S., U.S. territory, but you're a 4-hour flight from China. So convenient. And then you have all these other things to offer besides a baccarat table.
Right, absolutely. So tell us about your plans. I've seen some pretty dramatic plans for the permanent casino and integrated resort. Tell us about them.
Well, the one thing that I want to make clear, like I've tried in a few of the articles, where, open up with a $7 billion investment. Everyone keeps thinking it's a $7 billion building, like we're building City Center on the island of Saipan.
Right.
That's not the case. It's
sure.
$7 billion in investment dollars over time, over phases. So, again, we spent $25, $30 million in a temporary facility, which we're training locals how to deal. We're training a temporary facility is running, and that's step one. Step two is our first building. That's going up the end of this year, December of this year. The casino block piece will open, the bottom part, which is the main lobby. And this is a Paul Steelman architect, six-star, unbelievable building that Paul's put together. And then all of our other properties also with Paul. Paul was my first phone call when I joined the company to help us out here. So that will open the casino piece, main lobby, mass gaming floor, there's surrounding restaurants looking at the ocean, and then the second level where the junket rooms are, 500-seat ballroom, and some other meeting space. That all opens up the end of this year with the beachfront part. It's actually, it's modeled after the one and only in Dubai. So this property has its own private check lobby area, a French restaurant,
uh-huh.
15 villa suites, all with infinity pools looking at the ocean. This all opens in this year. While that opens, the hotel tower, which has 374 suites, that will continue to be being built as we're opening downstairs, and that will open up the end of first quarter of 2017. So call it an April 2017 fully open property. That's $550 million.
Okay.
Now that's building one, whatever you want to call that, building one, phase one.
Uh-huh.
Phase two, the government and the Department of Public Lands went out with an RFP that we are submitting all of our proposals today, actually, have to be in by today. And this is where now that second building starts and third building, and then all of our investors, we have investors already signed MOUs to build, they can build big hotels. We will always marry all that. Kind of like LVS, where you're used to, where across the street from the Venetian, you have the St. Regis, the Conrad, the Sheraton type of model. We'll always run the casinos, but we have investors helping us and partnering with us with many, many hotels and other areas. So in this location also, in our proposal, there's the largest water park in the world. There's, many other building hotels, and, there's it's a huge plan, which I publicly at this moment can't go into, but you'll be seeing it shortly.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, it sounds like this is a pretty impressive development. What's the timeline on this? How long is it going to take to complete?
Well, this building will fully open, you know, in April of 2017. Our next building we hope to have open by the end of 2018. And then by 2020, there'll be our third property, whether that one's ours or it's our partners. And the same thing will be going on. Once this site is approved and once this site is, you know, given to us, is when we can also move forward with our partners. So, you know, I envision the same thing that's going on in Cotai right now, Macau, where, you know, there's four properties actually being built at the same time, you know, with four different partners that are also involved.
Okay. So it looks like, you've got a bunch of non-gaming amenities too. This isn't just the casinos.
Not at all. And that's why I said, the main point is what's already built in. It's here now. We have, like I said, the whole world, scuba dives, snorkels, the fishing boats. We have fishing tournaments constantly. There's sunset cruises that people go out and it's, you know, with the dancers and just like island life. You know,
right.
Uh-huh. Beach dinners that when our guests come, we take over an entire beach area in front of the Aqua Hotel now, and with the playing dancers and huge crowds come around. It's very nice as the sun sets. In this other area, we have small shopping in the Grand Mariana because we're directly across the street from the DFS shopping mall.
Right.
There you have the Louis Vuittons, the Hermes, all that. That's already there. So we only have a little bit of shopping in the first one. The next phase and this Mariana's Golf Resort area, we'll have everything you can think of. And also in the Grand Mariana, I forgot to mention, all of our restaurants are Michelin star chefs. We have Brian McKenna, who actually was the youngest Michelin star chef at the age of 21,
uh-huh.
to many awards in China and Australia. And, you know, so we're going to have four, three Michelin star restaurants, two star, one star. You know, one of our concepts is our all-day dining buffet area. Every station is a Michelin star chef station. So that's in Grand Mariana. The same type of concepts moving forward when we have this other property. Big hotel names. Obviously, we'll have the big hotel names on top of hotels. We'll have the best restaurants. We'll start bringing in known name restaurants, you know, besides massive shopping, big convention area. And that convention area where we'll bring not only U.S. entertainment, we'll bring, you know, Asian entertainment like we did in Macau. But there's many other things. There's actually already five golf courses on the island. So we'll just continue to add to the island with the beauty of it already has, but we'll just keep adding that upscale, just next level of things that don't exist at the moment in Saipan.
Sure, okay. Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing. Now, you mentioned the VIP market, but I'm not clear about whether you're going to use junket operators and how you're going to work with them. What's the system there?
Right at this moment, what's approved, we deal with individuals. So I'm able to give you credit. You join our rolling program. We've only given up to 1.3% so far. We can give more, but 1.3%. 60-40 split in Macau is at 1.25%. So we gave 1.3%. It's a little bit more than Macau. And I deal individually with that person, grant them credit, and then they roll and we settle at the end. What the commission has already passed, basically you can call it an agent, not so much a junket as yet, where I'm able to give one person credit, and that person's allowed to give five of his friends or whatever chips and let them play. Whatever deal they're working out, that's on them.
Okay.
I only deal with the one person who has to pay the credit. At the same time, don't forget, those five friends, I know I have their passport, I have their information, I know who they are playing in VIP room. And there's 20 applications right now already submitted that were like Macau agents, Macau sub-junket guys who are ready to do this. We're waiting for the commission to approve. There's going to be four or five approvals this week. So we'll be able to do that. Well, that's the next step. We're dealing with one person, and he's not a good money's out. And the Grand Mariana, it opened that's where it'll be more full-scale Macau-style junket operations where the profit sharing, 60-40 split that's in Macau right now, will probably give a little bit better deal, maybe a 70-30. But we'll start that when the Grand Mariana opens. I'm feeling after the trip that the commission took to Macau and they're seeing the junket operation, how it works, and talk to the DICJ, I see them approving the profit sharing type junket style sooner than the Grand Mariana opening. I think you'll see a few months from now that we'll be already in place with that scenario.
So are you going to pay them commissions like they do in Macau, or are you going to do the profit sharing thing?
Well, right this moment, we just do the 1.3 rolling program commission. That's what we do now. It's okay. A rebate program, basically.
Right.
So the profit sharing will happen once the commission approves it.
Okay.
We felt that would take place only when the Grand Mariana opens. But like I said, after their trip, this could happen sooner.
Okay. So the commission will approve of these individuals that you do business with, and then the individuals will be responsible for their own clients.
That's already been approved right now. I can give one person credit.
Right.
And then all I have to worry about is that one person who he gives his money to. That's up to him. But I still know who they are, who's playing. And then they have to pay him back that money. All I care about is the one person I'm dealing with. That's already been approved.
Okay.
The profit sharing piece, they want to get their head around that. They didn't understand when a guy wins and loses and what's he mean. You split it. They're even trying to explain that to them.
Sure.
What does that mean? Well, like in Macau, we're explaining, even though it's a 60-40 deal, we always call it a 40-40-20. It's 40 tax.
Sure.
40 goes to the government, 40 goes to junket guy, 20 goes to the gaming company. And then after you pay your salaries, you pay your employees, all that, what you're left with, that's why the margins are so low.
Right.
We're able to, because of our no gaming tax here, we're able to give a little bit better deal, and we have more money that falls to our bottom line because we're not giving 40% to the government.
Sure. Well, it almost sounds like an affiliate marketer in the iGaming industry that gets a piece of the player's losses, So it's the same kind of thing, right? Great. So who is your target market? Are you going to mostly appeal to the Chinese market, or are you going to try to be all things to everybody?
No, we're obviously the Chinese market. 95% of our VIP business right this moment is all mainland China. And like I said, even though if you look at a map, Saipan, where is it? What's it next to? It's near Philippines. It's near, but it's so convenient. It's a U.S. territory.
Right.
But like I said, it's a four-hour flight from China, 5 hours from Beijing. It's very convenient for the guys. So they're flying in either on our private planes. We have private jets ourselves. They're flying on our private planes. They have their own private planes. Or even if they fly commercial, it's a four-hour flight. It's very, very convenient landing and no visa, like I keep saying. Visa on arrival, just walk right through customs, and they're here, they're spending through the weekend here, 3.5 days, let's say, and they're back, and that's who's coming here. Who already come to the island before we even arrived, one-third Chinese, one-third Japanese, one-third Korean, that's who's here. So that's what I opened up, and I just went without the VIPs, I wanted to see what the mass would do.
Uh-huh.
We were dropping 500,000 U.S. a day on 10 tables. And when I say also, they're the visitors that come to the island, but when I say locals and the local business, I'm not saying the local Chamorans.
Sure.
Actually play the slot machines and all that. But it's the local business owners. It's the local Korean restaurant owner. It's the local Japanese hotel owner.
Right.
That's who the mass business on the island is coming in and playing, that we're seeing. But even as we move forward, because of its location and its convenience, and the beauty of people coming out of China, that's a city, and the air is not good, and all those issues, they come to heaven here. It's so close.
Sure.
That will always be our target market. We're too far from anywhere else.
Sure.
U.S. That's why people say, why doesn't this work? Las Vegas is too far. Bahamas is too
right.
far. All those things. So I can't really think of any other place in the world that there's a comparison to what this place, this Saipan, has. I would keep going back to Bahamas. But it's so far from everything. That's why the business, that this type of business would never go there. And there's a huge factor I keep saying to people in the U.S., U.S. territory safety. Safety factor of being outside, safety factor of playing in the game. These guys feel comfortable betting $500,000 a hand, on a U.S. game with the Casino Patrol Commission watching, surveillance cameras, security guards. Would a guy bet $500,000-$600,000 a hand? I don't know, in Phnom Penh, in Korea somewhere, or in things, you know what I mean? You don't feel as comfortable. This is my opinion. This is what I'm seeing.
Sure.
And guys are feeling very, very comfortable here. They like the fact that we're being regulated, which is ironic, which everyone's thinking people are getting out of Macau because of the issues and everyone's watching. Are the VIP guys that we're dealing with actually like the fact that we're highly regulated and we're being watched and they feel safe because safe for their families and they feel safe that what they're betting on the table is real. It's being run and handled by U.S. experts and by Macau experts.
Okay.
And they trust the entire experience.
Sure. So you'll be happy with the one-third, one-third, one-third then if you continue to get that kind of division, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Well, we're obviously trying to grow the China more.
Right, sure.
You know, meaning on the gaming side and VIP, and that will happen. You know, the Japanese market was huge here at one time. If you look back at the history of Saipan with the garment factories, it was all the garment factories were here, and, you know, with the label made in the USA. And that's why this island flourished. At one time, there was 80,000 people on the island going to 100,000 people, and as soon as the government cracked down and all the garment factories went away,
yeah,
that's why this island got hurt. That's why the government got hurt, and they went down to 50,000 residents, and that's what they're dealing with. So the government, you know, pushed hard for this to happen. You know, the governor that was here when this all went through, you know, unfortunately passed away recently. He was sick and passed away. But our current governor now, Ralph Torres, is, you know, very, very, you know, qualified guy, who's very experienced in dealing with, you know, companies that have been on the island for a long time, and we have a very good relationship, not only with him, the governor, the lieutenant governor, but with the commission. The commission,
right.
I tried to make it where it's a learning experience for everyone on the island, especially the commission. This is all new to them, gaming, and how does this work? And, you know, it's kind of not to have the impression of we're teaching the regulators how to regulate us.
Yeah.
But they did their own homework. They
sure.
went everywhere. They went to Vegas. They went to Colorado. They went to Macau. They went everywhere and asked 1,000 questions. So even though we have a very good relationship and they want to do what's best, that's their main goal, to do what's best for the people of the island. So they make their taxes, so the economy grows, and making sure that, you know, they're not in Best Sunshine's lap. We're highly regulated. They're looking at every single thing that we do. Some a little too much, which I explained. This is what we used to do in Atlantic City. No
sure.
one looks at that anymore.
Right.
You know, so which they're understanding, they're getting, and they're feeling much more comfortable. But it is a very, very good working relationship that's in fairness on every side. So it's a wonderful experience for me anyway.
Well, they took a long time to legalize gaming there. I mean, they looked at it many years, as I recall, right?
That's true. And we still have people on the island that, you'll, no matter where you go anywhere, you'll have people on the island that just, they're happy the way it is.
Sure.
Even though there's no money and the government's going bankrupt and
right.
all those things, it's the big dead casino owner, especially Macau people, you know what I mean, the bad guys.
Right.
They're going to come and ruin our island, basically. They're going to come and we're going to bring, you know, bad people and all these other things that gaming, you know, in some places, you know, goes all together. So it's, every single thing that we do here is public, in a public hearing. So I had to stand in front of the whole island, basically, just for approvals of, not the license per se, but actually where we want to build on the Grand Mariana. Where the land is being built. We had to get approval to have an archaeological dig first, because what we're finding on the island, anything you touch on this island has remains. It's soldiers.
Sure, right.
You have soldiers from, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
There's artifacts of, tools that we found. We actually found some bombs on the site that, you know, we had that thrown in the bomb squad and things like that. It's been an unbelievable road, but we have to first go through full approvals to just clear the land. The company actually risked $3 million to just get approval for that first. Then I had to go, and we cleared it for someone. Then I had to go in front of the public hearing again, the whole island, to ask, okay, now can we build up this beautiful building on this ground that we just cleared? You know, so, and we have everyone involved in the island in every move we make.
Sure.
And the schools involved, even the archaeologists that we brought from Hawaii. We have the kids that went to school that were going to be archaeologists on the site with us. You know, and then we had other people on the island that making sure that we're taking care of the remains and we're honoring our ancestors. And we're actually going to build a little museum by our property to display all the things that we found. It's a very family-oriented island, that the main issue and the main thing that they live by is respect. So respect is the biggest thing. So that's what we always constantly aware of this and making sure that everyone is involved in every move that we make, every single thing that we ask with the commission as far as just from moving the table to trying to get land, and the whole island is involved in every move that we make. So like I said, there's some people still think that, you know, they were happier the way it was, but I think the majority now is seeing how much money we're giving back after the horrible typhoon that we had here. You know, we spent well over $1 million of, you know, rebuilding people's homes, bringing water, you know, putting people in houses themselves that didn't have a home. Every single month we're giving monies to different charities, and just our goal here is to help the island. We're not here to make a pile of money.
Sure.
You know, we're here for a long, long time, and we're here to help everyone. It's a business. So the government's going to make money. The people on the island are all creating jobs, thousands of jobs for people that didn't exist before. And, of course, we're a publicly listed Hong Kong company. We're going to make money also. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Right. Great. So tell us about Imperial Pacific. You mentioned that they spent years looking for the right location and finally found it here. The guys backing that, the investors, how dedicated are they to this effort right now?
This is fully 100% dedicated to Siteman.
Yeah.
You know, in our company before, it was purchased was a frozen food company that was purchased in the beginning, and that's what's listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. 1076 is our stock. Which now we basically, our company is Imperial Pacific Saipan Gaming, where the frozen food company is now out. We still had a piece of Hengcheng Junket from Macau, which that's where this came from. The company that owned Hengcheng was basically in gaming for many, many years and understands VIP gaming and junkets. And, you know, I knew the gentleman that when I was at the Sands Macau and I went to the Venetian. He was affiliated with another company there at the time, but you know, went into Hengcheng and was very, very successful, and that's where these relationships are coming from. You know, it's, even though now in our company, the Hengcheng junket was there, and we actually took that out of the company, so that's sold off and gone. So right now, 100% of our company is Saipan.
Okay.
And the concentration on gaming, and like I said, these huge projects that are happening over many, many years will be here for the long haul. But the focus is all on Saipan. But why do we have this type of play in this business here? It's obviously because of the relationships that our company has with, you know, obviously guys from Macau.
Right.
The four senior marketing people from Macau, from Australia, from Singapore, and then again, our Hengcheng junket relationship in the past, said, me, I still know my customers from Taj Mahal. And
sure.
The guys, same thing, your relationships with people.
Right.
That's who's coming. Even though Hengcheng is not in our company anymore, we still know all the people.
Right.
The guys are playing Macau. So now when guys are looking for another place to go outside of Macau, even when I was at Niagara World, where do they go? You know, they're looking, are they going to Korea? Are they going to Cambodia? Are they going to the Philippines? Are they going to Singapore? They need another spot. Nobody leaves Macau and goes somewhere else to gamble. Everyone used to think that, oh, when we get in Niagara, get planes. We're going to bring planes from Macau and bring them right to us. Guys go to Macau and gamble. Then they go home. They go home to China. Then they go to their next spot. They don't go gamble from Macau.
You know? Right.
So they go home.
Yeah.
Why, for us, the convenience of them now being in China, bang, you know, the 4-hour flight, 5-hour flight, they're right at our, mainly right on our island. So it's the guys that we are getting, again, are the cream of the crop. These are guys that own their own corporations. These guys are billionaires themselves. These guys have their own planes. These guys are, yeah, there's thousands and thousands of customers that are in Macau. You know, we're dealing with that. If you look at the VIP list in Macau, the guys that are coming to see us are just that, you know, top 400 people. Those guys that are coming, that's us.
Right, right. Great. Now, you've been in Asia for quite some time now, and you know, having known you from when you were a junior executive in Atlantic City, it's great to see you grow this long. But did you ever think that your career would really focus in Asia?
Not really, no. I mean, because I remember my first experience. I opened up the Taj Mahal, and in 1993 is when I got the call from Mark Giuliano.
Right.
Mark called me up to come over, come join Caesars World Marketing, come with me, when Mark was based back in Atlantic City then. And I went with him to Macau and to Hong Kong, first time ever in Asia. And, you know, even then I said to myself, I'll never come back here again. The Cowboys are kind of, to me, anyway.
Right.
From Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Right.
That was a pretty scary place in 1993.
For sure.
So, as, you know, I went back to Trump in 95, 96, and that's and then my experience there. But then when 2005 hit, you know, think about it so many years later, and then I get the phone call from Brad Stone. You know, Mark, what are you doing now? And I want to show you something. Come to Macau. First, I cringed. You know, but then I went and looked at, you know, the Sands was there in 2004, and then we're building the Venetian, you know, and then we're going to build the Sheldon Adelson's going to build the Las Vegas Strip. And what did, and when I went there, it's just, to me, again, I think timing, perfect timing. It was basically, you know, we all know, like everyone's like, what's Macau? Where's Macau? Nobody knew what it was. And it just took off like a rocket. You know, like if you're in the gaming industry, I felt, and you were not in Asia or affiliated with Asia in any way, you don't really get the full experience. You really don't. You know, I mean, you can...
Sure, right.
Not to knock Atlantic City or anywhere in Las Vegas. It's just you don't get the rounding of full potential of your gaming knowledge just, you know, staying in a casino in Atlantic City for your whole career.
Right.
And you still get this. And then the opportunities, because you have that Asian experience, especially for myself. You know, for me going to Las Vegas Sands, great company, then leaving and joining Wing for a little bit, then going to Cambodia, now in Saipan. It's just, if I would have just stayed, you know, the people that are looking to replace people like executives, if you have that Asian experience, that's the guy that's first on the list that they look at.
Sure, no question about that these days, especially the Asian market.
Do I think I spend, you know, most of my career here? No. And again, even though this feels like Asia, it's still a U.S. territory. So.
Right.
I'm back in the U.S. now.
Back in the U.S.A., right.
Exactly.
Well, Mark, it's great talking to you. I'm really glad we could catch up, and it's an exciting development. I hope to be there when you open your new place. I'm really excited to see it and see the island.
You're on the west. You'll be the first one invited.
If you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.
Everybody's got serving USA. Yeah, everybody's got serving USA.